The Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefery.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefery's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefery.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 65. Iron Game Chalk Talk is a weekly podcast where I bring you experts in the field to talk shop. If you've not already done so, please go to iTunes or YouTube and subscribe to us, or join our mailing list at ronmckeefery.com so you can stay up to date with the latest episodes and anything else that we have going on. This week, we have Brad Loki with us. Brad's the head strength coach at Stetson University. He's gone through the gamut. He's got a great story, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it. So I don't want to spoil it at all, but you know, he's done a fantastic job of just putting his head down, plowing through this profession. He's got a great opportunity as the head strength coach here at Stetson, a startup program. And so we talk a little bit about that, how, you know, he's leaned on his experiences in the past to be able to go in and handle this situation and have a great program set that he's setting up there. We talk about his how he schedules, developing a game plan in terms of putting equipment in and just creating a culture, you know, how he's been able to go to a startup program and establish a strength and conditioning program, some of the challenges and some of the things he's done to overcome that. So I know you're going to get a ton out of it. Before we get going, I want to make sure we recognize our sponsors, IgnitionAPG.com and EliteForm.com. IgnitionAPG is a performance company based in Cincinnati, and these guys, they're doing it the right way. You know, they got great products. They have, they do a great job with their training. But what I really love about these guys is how they focus on making sure that they're training the athletes for those other 22 hours when they don't see them. And so, you know, they do a great job in the community. Here's, you know, and I got a chance to do this with Cliff. This is Cliff Marshall right here. You know, go out and help feed the homeless in Cincinnati there. And you know, it's just unbelievable things that go in this world that we don't always know about. And, you know, when we went out, there was three guys living under a bridge that was, you know, that you could see from the practice field that I'd never even seen before, you know, and so these guys are, you know, are going out with great guys like Domata and Vinny Ray and Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and just doing a phenomenal job of giving back to the community and training the total athlete. And so I would highly encourage you to like their Facebook page, IgnitionAPG. Just so you can see some of the things they got going on. But I'd also encourage you to look at their speed certification. They have speed certifications that they put on a couple locations through the year, but they also do it on site, and so they can certify your whole staff. And so I'd encourage you to reach out to them and look into that. But I did the certification last year and think it's a great program. So definitely check into IgnitionAPG. Lastly, you know, Strength Coach Basic Training is a online internship program that I created. And it's basically the program that I put our interns through. It's an 8 lecture series with projects and assignments along with the group interaction. I moved this to Facebook a little while back, and it's had phenomenal impact on how we've been able to communicate and build our network. And so it's really neat to see how some of these coaches have just jumped in and really started interacting with one another. And we've had lots of people have success with our internship program. So if you're a young strength coach just getting into the field, or at a place where you don't have a great network, I would highly encourage you to go to strengthcoachbasictraining.com and check that out, and I know that you'll truly, truly enjoy it. Want to get to Brad. This is one of those stories that's just, it's putting your head down, plowing through, and making it happen. And so I'm excited for you to hear this episode. Take care. All right, guys, real excited to have a buddy of mine on the show today. Brad, I've known for a couple, two, three, 4 years now. And, been connected with him and social media and whatnot for several years. And just a guy that's doing it the right way, a guy that's a lifelong learner, like we constantly preach on the show. And real excited to have you on the show, man.
Well, I'm grateful to be here. I've seen a lot of guys that are on the show. I watch the show constantly. A lot of legends. So I'm really honored. I've known you again for several years, and I appreciate all the mentoring you've done with me, reaching out to me, even though I wasn't one of your direct interns, but I'm very grateful and very honored to be here. So thank you.
Thanks, buddy. Well, I appreciate the kind words. Well, for the guys that, don't know you as well, let's go into your journal. Why did you get into strength and conditioning and kind of the path that you took to get there to Stetson?
Sounds good. Well, I started, obviously, I think as a lot of us do, as an athlete. Had the opportunity to play some college football. I ended up at a small school called Central Methodist University out in the Midwest. And first time away from home, got mixed up, just wanted to go out and have fun and not really concentrating on why I was at school. And still playing sports and basically, honestly, fell out of school. After my freshman year, I ended up in the Marine Corps, spent 4 years active duty honorably in the Marine Corps, got to go all over the world, do some different things, and as an athlete there as well, I played some football in the Marine Corps, as well as got to be on the international powerlifting team, got to lift all over the world. That was absolutely amazing. I think that really rekindled my love for competition and sports and wanting to be around the weight room. So when I decided later to go back to school, that was kind of the route that I wanted to take. And I came back with something I didn't have before, and that was just perseverance, wanting to be able to finish things I started. By the time I got back to school, I had one more year of eligibility. I went through spring ball. I decided the ball wasn't for me anymore, but I kept my scholarship, kind of hung around the weight room, doing some just, basic intern stuff, cleaning and monitoring some stuff, some data entry, tracking, recording, keeping check on the guys, opening up when coaches couldn't be there. And I kind of earned a little bit of trust, kept that scholarship, and then from there, got out, did a little bit of regular job work, didn't really get into the strength and conditioning field, didn't even realize it was like a profession. Mm-hmm. And then, after about 5 years in the workforce, doing some other things, I was miserable in my life, extremely empty. I was making good money. I was managing nightclubs and some other things, hotels, and from there, I was making great money. I had everything I wanted financially, but my heart was absolutely empty. And I just felt like I had a bigger, better calling. I left an $85,000 a year job to go back to school just to finish my bachelor's to set for an exam. I didn't even know if I was going to pass so I could get my CSCS. So I took a really, really big risk, and it's taken a lot of time to kind of manifest and come to fruition in itself. It's been an extremely difficult journey, so I definitely look forward to sharing that with you guys today.
Yeah, the biggest thing that stood out there, and just like, I've spoken several times about this topic and preach it to our interns constantly, but it is that sacrifice, and one of the things that I spoke recently at the NSCA conference about the 10 things that I've learned from college and, sacrifice being, you have to sacrifice for what you love so that you truly have a passion for it moving forward. And
I agree.
If you're just handed things, you're just given things. And we see that constantly with our athletes. If you're just given a starting job, then you don't truly appreciate it. But when you've earned it with the sweat equity that you've been putting in, it definitely means something to you. And every day you wake up with a renewed sense of urgency to go out and accomplish your goals. And so, I know that's you in a bottle. And so I appreciate you sharing that. What were some of the things that you know now that you wish you knew as a young strength coach just getting in the field?
First and foremost, I think it's a decision. I think my biggest mistake was the timetable. I was a lot older and a lot later going back to school. Mm-hmm. When you already have that financial debt and that income to debt ratio, We talked about those sacrifices. To make those sacrifices, to leave that money, to leave your bills, have different things go on, maybe lose your credit. You know, I went through a bankruptcy. I went through a repossession. I was homeless and jobless for months on time, trying to go through different internship processes, struggling. I'll talk a little bit about my testimony when this really came to be in a little bit, but those are some of the things. That was the first thing I really wish. As I got into this later, man, I just wish I would have started earlier without that debt and really on that career path to where, number one, as an athlete, I already knew some strength coaches. I should have got in when I was in.
Right.
Versus waiting and trying to come back to it. And even now, I battle so hard with networking and trying to get guys just to open up to me, you know, and get around those guys and have that networking. When I was at Cumberland, you know, and you guys were over Tennessee, that was a great opportunity. We had everybody right around us. At the time, Coach Sis was at Vanderbilt, had some friends down at MTSU, so it was really easy to get around. You know, within 2 hours, you could be in a lot of different schools and get that networking.
Right.
Now, in Florida, at Stetson, that's one of the biggest difficulties that I really have. We don't have a lot of people around here. I've got Coach Ellis down at UCF. He's invited me down a few times. And just making that little connect, that's great. But other than that, it's really hard to get out to these clinics and go other places where, as in Cumberland, that limited mile range was a lot easier.
Sure. Well, you know, and that's the thing that we constantly talk to our athletes about is you know, when you're faced an obstacle, how do you overcome it? You know, and so how this show came about was you know, I was you know, just got out and done with Tennessee and out of work and so, you know, I was traveling all over the country going to meet with coaches, you know, and it wasn't so much the money thing, but it was a time and sacrifice of, you know, going and doing all these things. So I started Skyping. And so that's kind of how this show came about. And so, you know, when you're in a situation like you are and like other coaches are, you know, overcome that obstacle and get on Skype and talk to coaches from the, you know, the comfort of their own office, you know. And this is, so it's one of the main motivations for me to do the show. I get to talk to great coaches like yourself, you know. What, you know, when you got to Stetson, you know, and I was with you during that process, you know, I talked to you quite a bit during that process. What were some of the, you know, some of the biggest obstacles that you faced? You know, what were some of the things that you felt like, okay, I was, you know, I've been in this business long enough, but these were some new challenges as a strength and conditioning coach that I was facing?
Well, I think in any new startup program, there is a curse and a blessing. The curse is that you have to take accountability and responsibility for everything that goes on. The beauty is that it's yours. But again, you're not inheriting something. You are starting from scratch. And my biggest obstacle is Stetson. They had never had strength and conditioning. They don't understand. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it's supposed to look like. And I think it's very difficult because you work for a multitude of sport coaches. You have a few sport coaches that maybe come from a big BCS or a bigger D1 program, and they're used to having, you know, their own strength coach where they've got 12 to 16 on staff or whatever it is, where they get a lot more individualized attention.
Mm-hmm.
Those personnel to fit in, you know, to a place like Stetson where there's only myself and a, you know, a part-time assistant and a few interns, they're not getting that attention. So it does, it creates some friction moving forward, you know, coming into a room, designing all your own protocols. I mean, there was so much time for me, you know, within that first year and a half of, you know, writing the formal internship program, writing all the protocols for do's and don'ts in the weight room and how do we handle these things. And there's still things that are coming up. Just recently, we've had to go into some supplemental protocol, how we've handled that, and some changes got to be made on that forefront moving forward. You know, you see a lot of things going on around the nation now with the extra meals being allowed, what supplements can be utilized as food, different things like that. So that's now on my plate and dealing with that administrative protocol, getting that written, making sure that, you know, we're able to put the right interns with the right programs based on their schedule, working the schedule. You got teams fighting for different spots. You know, everybody wants the 7 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or everybody wants the 4 o'clock Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever it is, and trying to battle that and make that balance. And ultimately, really what is trying to do the best for the university as a whole athletic department, or not just one sport or another sport, that becomes a huge battle.
Sure. Now, so how do you address that? You know, how do you address the scheduling issue?
Well, we have in our Outlook, we have an online schedule, and basically as we go through and we start putting those teams in, I do not really try to pick from greatest or least importance. We do have, you know, kind of a tier system, and there are obviously certain sports that need the weight rooms more than others, and we kind of start with those. But also, I really try to look and cater to the teams that really want to be in the weight room, that work hard, that consider it as part of their program. And I don't mean to do it as a bias, but I think we all do it as to where those teams work for us, so we want to work for those teams. Those teams include us in their, you know, their administration and look at us as part of the program. We're definitely, I think, you know, there does, it creates a little bit of bias to where we do a little bit more for them. I don't think I intend to. I try to do what's best for university as a whole all the time and try to make those best balances. I know it doesn't always work, but basically what we do, about a month before a semester starts, sometimes a little bit earlier, I start having meetings with coaches and trying to balance out how and what they want to work on a consistent schedule. And for the most part, I think all but about 2 hours of the day pretty easily line up. But again, there are some popular spots that teams really battle for. And with that, I kind of do it first come, first serve. You know, I put out a massive email, and it's a protocol. Hey, get back to me by this date. And the teams that get in first and really want to come in and sit down with me and get that scheduling done, we'll lock it in that calendar. And then from there, it's you know, it's pretty much a done deal, unless for some reason something high level, first priority administration has a trump on it. And I try to handle that as diplomatically as possible. It doesn't always work. I try to, you know, you get stuck in situations sometimes.
Sure. You know, it's something that we, you know, we haven't talked about on the show, but what we do and what I've done through my career is, you know, a lot of times people will say, okay, well, we gotta give priority to the in-season team, you know, and, you know, and I think that's, I get that, but what I actually do is I look at it going, okay, off-season is the most important team-building time there is.
You know? I do the exact same thing.
And so what we try to do is, you know, we give priority to our largest to smallest off-season team that lifts as a team. You know, now football will divide by two because we typically lift in two lift groups. We're able to do that with our facility. And yes. So that's two 50-person teams. So it's still one of our largest teams, if not the largest. And, and so we go off-season by team, largest to smallest, and then our second tier is in season by team before practice, you know, because a lot of times what happens, coaches are like, hey, you know, I want to practice from 3 to 4 o'clock, 3 to 5 o'clock, and then you've got them at 5 o'clock. Well, we're an afterthought then, you know.
Correct.
And you know, they get to get done with their day and they get to leave. Well, that's not the case, you know. And so if you want to lift as a team before practice, we'll do it and we'll schedule you after those off-season teams have scheduled as teams. And then it's the third tier is in-season by groups, because now, you know the reason why you lift as a team is so that you can build that unity, build that camaraderie, you know, make sure everybody's seeing things. And so, you know, when I'll do those off-season lift times during their practice time typically, you know, because that they usually keep that open in their schedule.
Correct.
You know, in season by groups, what I do is I do it around the class blocks. So whatever the class block is,
that's how I have to do
at
it
the school, then I'll do it, you know, by class blocks. And then the last one is it's off season by groups. You know, so if you want to, you know, you don't want your kids to come in by team, then I'll do it that way. So, you know, that way I've kind of given a tier system to our coaches. So they know that, you know, it's almost that they're creating their own hierarchy based off that criteria, instead of me saying, yeah, football is the most important, and then the basketballs, and then, you know, it's, you know, and I've done revenue producing teams first, and then the non-revenue producing teams second, or gate admissions second, and then non-gate admissions third. You know, you just got to sit down with your athletic director and really kind of determine when, you know, when the rubber meets the road, if we're sitting in your office talking about scheduling with a coach, that we've predetermined some sort of hierarchy that is conveyed to them at that time. But I know that's a common challenge, and it's one that, you know, we faced here even when I first got here as well. So I appreciate you bringing that up. That's a good topic.
The next biggest challenge, obviously, right now for strength and conditioning being new at Stetson, the hardest thing I have, I think they do a really great job budgeting and giving money as far as what we need in maintenance, what we need in equipment. I've been extremely – extremely happy with the weight room and the overall treatment of everything and getting the priorities, things getting fixed, stuff like that. But as far as staffing, you know, I feel that's a problem that, you know, we talked about at the CSCCA back in May. You know, Texas did a great job talking about that. Baylor kind of brought that up in a roundtable, is just how to get these administrations to realize that the eyes and the supervision that's necessary for the department, for the sports, to, number one, increase the quality of life of the people that you have working. You don't have burnout. All those things, I think, are really important, and trying to get Stetson to see that, and, you know, other startup programs as well. I think that's just one of the startup mentalities that you got to overcome, is letting them realize, hey, you know, I can only do so much. I can't be everywhere at all times. And, you know, we've got to come to some terms of what the expectations are, and or B, have the personnel to meet the demands and expectations that are there.
Right, right. And again, you know, I think, and having gone through that at South Florida, you know, I think the advice that I typically give is, you know, you want to set your program up. You know, you want to create an organizational chart for the perfect setup. You know, so at South Florida, for me, that was 5 strength coaches at the time. And so it was myself and then 4 strength coaches and then, sport assignments underneath that. Mm-hmm. And so I created that organizational chart. And what I did is until I filled it with full-time assistants, I filled it with interns.
Right.
You know, and, you know, every semester we, you know, now you don't get interns unless you invest in them and you put, you know, effort into their development and you really promote them elsewhere and things like that. But when you show to truly have a good program, people are going to want to come and you're going to get a little bit better class of interns every semester, you know. And so I would do that. And when, you know, the volleyball coach or the softball coach or the, you know, men's cross country coach came in and complained about having an intern working with their sports. And that was my response, was to go back to, you know, their sport administrator and tell them that we need more strength coaches.
Right.
You know, and I'll get a better, more qualified person if we have money for that position, but we don't have that. And,
right.
You know, by putting the organizational chart in place, it kind of put it down on paper for our administrators that, hey, this is how it should be. And we constantly strove towards that. And then South Florida, we were able to do that. We were able to get to 5 full-time strength coaches. And I did that in various different ways. And I think what really lies right now, what exists right now, is the CSCCA practicum really makes it a great opportunity for coaches to be able to get people for 8 months, you know, for that academic school year, because they have to go sit for that exam anyway. So you're providing them a great resource, great opportunity to get those hours. And then you turn around and you're getting that labor, a consistent labor force for those 8 to 9 months, you know? And so, you know, we're doing that even a little bit here with, you know, trying to find money. And so the enticement now is, we'll pay for your exam. We'll pay for you to go out and take the exam. But you're on your own while you're here, you know, and I've often said to our potential, you know, to GA type candidate, excuse me, that, you know, right now in this time with money being the way it is and resources being the way it is and all that, you know, why settle for a $15,000 job where a lot of places you're even paying for your academics out of that, you know, go volunteer, go pick where you want to go. Walk into a Brad Loke, you know, and say, you know, hey, I'm going to go work 20 hours a week at Walmart, but I'm going to come volunteer for you for 20 hours a week for free, you know, and you're going to make more than, you know, $15,000 a year doing that.
Right.
But now you get to pick the coach that you want to work for, the place you want to go work in. And then the grad program, you know, you take out, you know, either you use the additional money that you got coming in from Walmart, or you take out a student loan and you invest in yourself, but at least now you're not wasting time, you know, going from internship to internship to internship looking for that GA opportunity.
Or that job, correct. And, you know, you mentioned talking about the CSCCA. You know, that's one of the things, too. Once I got into that organization and became a mentor, that's one of the things I look for and offer. I try to get people to come in, want to be under me, go through a formal internship program. I've had about 4 student athletes / intern GAs now that have come through me, and all of them successfully going on and passing that practicum and passing that exam and trying to get job placement with them and getting them out, you know, to make sure that we have that credibility as well. But that's one of the things that we do offer and trying to get those in, you know, and I'm currently looking for some people now. So we always have that platform open and really excited about that as well. And I think that's going to open more and more doors as we move forward.
Sure. And, you know, and it seems like I've had this conversation a couple times in the last couple weeks. But you know, I think a lot of times what the mistake that's made by a lot of programs is that they purely look and they purely lean on just their own exercise science program, you know, and students within. And at this point now, I hardly take any students from where we're currently at. You know, if they do, they're considered observation students. I try to look for people that this is what they want to do for the profession, so they're willing to make that sacrifice to come here and go through the program. But because they do, we're when they do, we invest strongly in their development. You know, not just the semester that they're here, but the semesters on after that. So, I think that's an important thing. Is that I reached out to exercise science programs from across the country and got myself listed as in their internship books when they handed out to their different classes. You know,
this is a place to go, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's just an opportunity that exists. You know, and so I mean, back in South Florida, it was easy because it was Tampa, and you were selling, and Stetson, you can sell, you know, sell Florida as well. But you know, once you establish a pretty good program, then it continues to evolve. And so that kind of leads me into the next thing. I know, you know, we've talked about this a lot. You know, I'd like you to share it with the group, but you know, I've leaned on my internship experience a lot. I know you've leaned on your internship experiences a lot. You know, what were the experiences that you leaned on the most when you got your big opportunity, you know, to be a head guy, you know, or run your own program or start your own program? What were the experiences that leaned on that? And then kind of, you know, go into your internship program, some of the things that you do.
Sounds good. I'm going to back up just for a second. Kind of talk about just the path. As I started out, when I first came out of my undergrad, had my CSCS, I got a great opportunity to be a head strength coach. And one of the mistakes that I made in taking that job, I didn't realize, I thought I was, you know, we're young and thought we knew everything. Well, I took a job that I really wasn't ready for.
Sure.
I'm glad I did. I got a lot of experience. There were some coaches there that mentored me, helped me set up different ideas of how to utilize the equipment that was there. So I consider that, even though I was a head strength coach, it was also like an internship for me as well, because I was learning as I went.
Sure.
Here I come out of this book knowledge. You know, you look at the books, you talk about designing a program with Kramer and the NSCA manuals and different things, Boyd Epley and stuff like that, that are written. And, you know, they design these programs based on, well, I've got 10 fully functional Olympic racks or 20 fully functional Olympic racks. Well, what happens when you don't have that?
Sure.
You know, what happens when you've got 4 squat racks, 4 benches, 4 inclines, and 4 platforms, and you got to get 40 guys in through here in an hour? And being able to be creative and look at that, one of the big experiences I drew from that is knowing what your room is, what your equipment is before you really design your program.
Great.
That was a huge learning opportunity and experience right there in itself. At that time, I got to go out and visit, you know, Donnell Boucher up at Citadel. They invited me up. I went up there, saw kind of what they did, and it was really reassuring. It made me feel really good because here I got to see a great program, and they were doing a lot of the same things that I was already incorporating and implementing, and that just made me reassured about the path and the direction I was taking as a young strength coach moving forward. So that was really, really reassuring. And then moving on, you know, I was under Coach Scott Brinks at the University of Tennessee Chattanooga for 2.5 years as a volunteer. They had me on staff. There were times when they had camps and stuff. You know, I'd get a little bit of money from that. But I always, that whole time, I mean, I'm there at 5:30 in the morning. I had wrestling to myself. I helped with softball. I worked with football all the time. And, you know, that was a great experience. And I was coaching, waiting there, and just waited and waited. And some things happened. They ended up going with a female. And that was okay. But that helped me move on. But the best part about that situation, being at University of Tennessee Chattanooga, is I got to see a totally different method. I got to be incorporated in a bigger program. And at that time, we were going through a change. They went through some football losing to football winning, changed the head coaches. Basketball was hot. They were winning conferences. I won my first conference title working with Heath Esslinger there, the wrestling coach that had come from there, and they'd done a great job. And I got to see some different sports. I got to work with some different things and see it now that I had an actual, you know, 10 fully functional platforms and racks. Okay, now I can do this, and now I can write like this. And that was a great experience. And then ultimately, you know, moving on from there, the most scary and trying time of my life, I went through a situation where I was working as a strength coach in the health industry. I got hired by Volkswagen in Chattanooga. And the job description there was really interesting. We started out, we did a lot of basic functional testing. And what they're trying to do is get normal workers that were coming off of unemployment sitting around at their house ready for a very difficult job force working in the factory plant, building these cars, bending, you know, doing all these different things they haven't been doing. So our job was basically get them physically fit for those jobs. Well, after we did that and the plant opened, that job totally changed. Then our job became going around and finding ways to make these jobs more ergonomically proper, you know, kind of doing like injury report details, and I was absolutely miserable.
Right.
So at that time, I started applying for GA spots, formal internships. I applied at Alabama. I applied at Mississippi State. I went out and interviewed Coach Bayless. That was a great experience. But ultimately, I verbally committed to Georgia Tech, and I wanted to go down there. It wasn't that far. But that was the greatest decision in my life. That is where I made that ultimate sacrifice. I literally left Chattanooga unemployed. I owned a Mazda Miata. I took everything I could fit, put it in a car, got rid of everything else. I went to Georgia Tech in Atlanta with $135 to my name. I didn't know where I was going to sleep. I didn't know where I was going to eat. And I didn't know how it was going to work out because of a volunteer internship.
Right.
My testimony was this. I just felt such a calling and such a passion that I knew it was going to work out. And sure enough, when I got there 2 days later, the roommate I had in Chattanooga, his brother literally lived 4 miles from the stadium. He called me. He offered me a place to stay, rent-free. You know, he made a joke with me. He says, "Hey, man, I know where you're at right now, and I know you really want this." He says, "I don't expect anything from you." He says, "But when you get your first job, he says, just send me tickets to a game. I want to be on the sideline." And I remembered that, and I upheld that when I got to Cumberland. That was a great opportunity. And then the next thing I know, I went over to the Georgia Tech Recreational Center. They offered me a job doing some personal training. It was $15 an hour, but it was at my own schedule.
Right.
It was on campus. It was right across, you know, from where I was already doing the internship in the weight room. The hours worked out. I could use the little school bus to get around. They got a little city bus that goes around campus. And I was using that to kind of get around, save gas money. And I was making enough to pay my bare minimums, you know. All I had was car insurance, and I mean, I'm very humble. I'm going to tell you straight up. I knew I was unemployed. I got food stamps. The food stamps covered my cost of eating. I was rent-free. I made just enough to be able to pay the bills that I had. I had to have a cell phone. I had to have car insurance and put gas in my car. But other than that, I lived very simple. I sacrificed as many hours as I could to the internship and went on from there. But back to you asking what I pulled from that. The formal internship at Georgia Tech was absolutely amazing. At the time, Jason Benguch, who's now an assistant for Joe Kent at the Panthers, That was his first formal internship issue. They had written a manual. I have pulled many things from that manual. My manual almost mirrors that identical. I went through, got very familiar with the Olympic lifts, didn't know it at the time until I started actually coaching and teaching it. It got a lot better for me. It got a lot easier for me. I saw some things that the coaches had taught us there. I think the overall progressions indoctrinating athletes was very big, kind of how you broke up, you know, your more advanced athletes or your underdeveloped athletes. That was really big. Seeing a few different sports and kind of getting an idea of how to send your interns to coordinate with who they needed to be with, that was a really good experience there. So once I pulled from that, man, I took that directly to Cumberland with me, kind of built off that, built the internship program up. I had a great internship program at Cumberland that went really well. Came out and visited you when you were in Tennessee, got some ideas, took those back. And that was just a continual growing process. So bringing all that to Stetson has helped me tremendously.
That's great. Well, that's the key. I mean, it's, you know, you made the ultimate sacrifices and you've gone through and chased this dream. And so you turn around and you're pouring into other people. And I think that's the most important thing that we can all do as coaches. Sometimes it's like, you know, you walked up both you know, the school both ways, uphill and snow and on ice, you know, cracked glass and the whole deal. But, you know, you turn around and you're pouring back into other people. And that's why I do what I do. And that's why obviously you do what you do. So I appreciate that as well. Well, man, I know it's a Saturday, and I know you're busy. We always in these shows with some resources. So give me a quote that you believe in, or that you got, you know, hung up in your wall, in the weight room somewhere.
Well, I'm not super big on quotes, but I like this short poem, and it's excuses, and the author's unknown, but it's excuses are the tools of the incompetent, used to build bridges that lead nowhere. Those who deal in excuses make monuments out of nothing. I teach all my athletes that verbatim. They learn it per phrase. And that's something that I firmly believe in. I've had a lot of obstacles in my life. And until you're really willing to make those sacrifices and put away whatever excuse it is or whatever reason that you can't do it, when you get to that point, you will find a way to make that happen. And I am a personal testimony of that. You know, I feel like I was really self-made coming up through the ranks. I didn't really come from, you know, the bigger schools, or I didn't have that formal mentor where I was there as a student or a student athlete or GA. A lot of my stuff was volunteer and just getting out there and continually grinding. And again, that's been really difficult to get doors to open and get my face out and do those things. But it's constantly working.
That's awesome, man.
As far as you asked me again, I apologize. You asked for a quote. What else was it?
Well, I'm about to ask you about for a book, app, and a website recommendation.
My book. I go back, and I know this is very cliche and very old, but I really have enjoyed a lot of the techniques that are implemented by that book, Super Training. Mm-hmm. So the apps, there's a lot of them out there. The one I'm using right now that I am ecstatic about is from Athletic Standard, and basically it's just a tracking. It's for testing. You put your athletes in there. You build player profiles. You can put all your tests in there. It has saved me. I just started this summer. I'm not even all the way caught up from my back data yet. But I tell you what, as far as being able to produce statistics and see things, it's awesome. It helps you with communication with your coaches so they can really see what you're doing in a weight room, good or bad. And I think as far as statistics and the number side of our game and showing what you're capable of doing, I really enjoy it. You know, I look forward if I ever go on an interview, that's something I want to pull up and be like, hey, here's what I've done for the last 2 years. This is where we started when I got here. Here's where we are, you know, whatever, 14-17% gain 2.5 years later. And I think those are really good things to be able to have.
No, it's great. What about when you're surfing the web at night? What websites are you going to?
My favorite, I really like Elite FTS. Great knowledge, a lot of good presentations. I've gotten to know Watts. He's a good guy, and he's kind of taught me a few things from he was a Denison back when I was at Cumberland, and then he went on to Lead FTS, and now I think he kind of does his own thing, but still it works with us. But those articles, I think, are fairly genuine. I think they're very raw. I like Dave Tate. I think I really like it when guys just speak down to earth, you know, whether, you know, the language is skewed or not. I feel that just down to earth, there is some great science in there, but also, you know, sometimes science doesn't work. Sometimes it's get in there and figure it out. And I think, you know, having that time under barbell, I think that's huge. And I get that from Dave Tate. I get that from Elite FTS. And, you know, myself, I've been under barbell 24 years. I know I'm basically, you know, sometimes I don't look like it. But as far as lifting, I really enjoy getting in the weights and doing those things. And I think that experience, I think you learn a lot from how these things just feel. Big D up at Play, you know, they got they do all that strongman demos at all the conferences. He picks up 250-pound Atlas Stone, and, you know, he got me into playing with those things. And one of the things that came from him that I thought was absolutely amazing, he had like 15 interns and GA standing out there, and he told us, he says, you know, all you guys got this profession really messed up. He says, what's the first word in the title of your job? Everybody's like strength coach. And he kind of looks out and he says, why don't none of you guys got any? You know, these guys struggling picking up 250-pound Atlas Stone, putting it on a shoulder, whatever. And I understand that's the technique. It takes talent. It takes time doing that. But that's exactly what we're getting at, is investing in that craft and really spending time under the barbell.
Sure. Well, man, it's refreshing to hear. You know, it's something that I try to do with my staff and people that I interact with. But, you know, it's easy to pound your chest and say, you know, oh, yeah, I'm just that good. That's why I'm the head strength coach at Stetson, or I'm the head strength coach at, Eastern Michigan or Tennessee or wherever else. And you know, so many times you don't hear the struggle, you don't hear the journey, you don't understand that it is a sacrifice and it is, you know, lots of time, investment and effort and challenging yourself to continually get better and striving for excellence every day. And so I appreciate you sharing your story with us, man, and I appreciate what you're doing and how you're doing it. So thanks for coming on the show.
I'm grateful as well, Ron. Thank you for everything from day one. It's been a blessing, a great guidance, and a great help, man.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, EliteForm.com and IgnitionAPG.com, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out RonMcKeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @RMcKeefrey, on Facebook and YouTube at @Ron.McKeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.